Good evening, everybody. Can you hear me in the back of the room okay? Our PA system, we only have one mic that we can pass around up here. Welcome. The first thing I would like to do is and I'm where I'm getting the feedback from some of the mics maybe, would be for the panel up front here to introduce themselves. So I'm going to start and pass it along towards Representative Angelos over there, Senator Bach, and then they can bring it around and pass. You can also introduce yourself. Welcome initially, and for those of you, most of you probably know me. I'm State Representative Tom Rosadina, and I represent this area in the House.
Hello, I'm Carolyn Delaney, representative from Columbia Street area. I'm on Jen Carter Committee, and she's going to be late tonight. We've got 7 traffic, so I will be here when she comes.
I'm Danny McNamara, I'm from Hastings, State Representative.
Vice Chair, State Representative from Chisholm.
Representative Bob Denton, Forest Lake.
Representative Tom Hunley from City of Louisville.
Representative
Melinda
Norman from
Bowman Park. Senator Ann Lynch from Rochester and Southern Community. Tom Black, I'm a member of the State Senate, and I represent a large part of the
Airwood region of Minnesota. Senator Ann Lynch, we've all been noted.
Pastor
Quist.
David, I'm the Solis State Senator from Chisholm. This is my Senate district also.
I'm from
Richfield,
and
I'm Representative Tim Mahoney from St. Paul.
Representative Warren Soldier from Citizen Grand Rapids.
So I don't know, actually, we didn't put out a sheet for people to come up and talk, but people here in this room, I know a lot of you have been waiting for many, many, many years for someone to listen to you, and I think that's what the committee wants to do tonight. And also the commissioners and professionals that are here in the room. I know that former Senator Bates is here, and Joel, perhaps you can set the room at ease. Everybody, you don't need any introductions for those of you on the committee that Christmas, Joel. We certainly need some introduction, and Joel, I know that you would ask if you could say something, so why don't you start it off here this evening? Why did it come up to the table, Joe? I don't think any of them are alive. So.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and committee members. This is my first opportunity to testify before a committee since I left the legislature in 92. Members, firsthand, I worked in the satellite plant for a little over 30 years. I started my employment in the satellite plant in an experiment plant that Desiree Steel and Peckinson Master operated for many years. At this plant, we did all the testing of everything that is used in the satellite plant today that we used and tested and ran. And we produced a small amount of product, but mostly was for testing wear. In all the years that I was a foreman, a line foreman, various titles of foreman, for over 25 years, and in all of our discussions in our company meetings, never once was dust ever a problem. Never once was this talked about as it could be hazardous to employees. What was talked about mostly was micro shoes, and then later on came the eyeglasses. But never the dust. And members, in the plant, in a crusher, you could see a person maybe 20 feet away, but you couldn't tell who it was. You could see movement as he was working. That's how dusty it was in a crusher. In a double plant, most of the dust were just terrible. And the mechanics that worked there, to put a sling over a beam, there would be a 6 to 10 inches of dust on top. They would take something and knock it off and then hang the sling up. Not once were these people ever warned about dust, the dust could be hazardous to the employees. And back in 83 or 84, we appropriated $400,000 to make a study on it. There's some people that initiated that that came to us and are in the audience tonight. And in today's dollars, it'd be over $1 million. And that report never was completed. I understand now the report was flooded out someplace and lost or whatever happened to it. And then, why we went the route we did through the health department and through the University of Minnesota, because we wanted that report to have some credibility. And that's why we chose that route. And we know now how that report was screwed up and everything, we never would have went that route. And to cut this short, Mr. Chairman, I follow this hearing in the last hearing in the paper. The commissioner now said that they're going to ask for money and make a plan. 2 minutes of sessions went by since this report was issued, the equity plenary report. And now once that they come to the legislature and ask for money, I wouldn't give them any money. I would go another route because it seems like his administration cannot be trusted with that money. It's a cover-up, in my estimation. It's sad when you're dealing. You know, even the cover-up on administration now, on the tires, they make it a big issue. But on human life, it should be a bigger issue. It should be number one issue. We can always replace a tire, but you don't replace another new baggage. But the Macarena, it's gone. They'll talk about you at the cemetery on Memorial Day. This is wrong. And I said I was in the management for a lifetime. And not once was this discussion ever brought up. Ever. It was talked about it when Miles Lord got in charge of it again, but that was moving the water, not the people. But the people drank the water, that was their concern. Miles 07 was good. So, what I'm saying to the administration, the commission that he's here with us, shame, shame on you for not protecting the life. We could have come up with some, maybe a spray that can spray the water before it's all in, or some way the water can be changed. Maybe a different mask for the workers. Not the big bulky one, the little fine one that you put on. There could have been many changes. With that, Mr. Chairman, thank you for allowing me to start off here. But it's wrong with the administration looking at a cover up.
Thank you for your testimony. Listen, members in the audience who want to talk to this issue, family members, you just feel free to come forward. And I've said that before.
Go ahead, sir.
My name is Paul Spilsky. I'm from Hidden, Minnesota. I spent 26 years working at Hidden Fastener. I worked there as a welder. In the end run, I was totally disabled by the doctors at the Mayo Clinic because of lung condition. I had no reserve lung capacity left. I smoked at one time in my life, and immediately when we talked to pulmonary doctors, they immediately said that everything was related to smoking. I followed the health problems. I came up here to Minnesota about the time that Judge Miles was making the decision on Miles 47. I've also had at the same time along with that, I've also had a lot of faith in Minnesota government as being progressive and upfront to people who come to state. And irregardless of political party, things always seem to have gotten solid in Minnesota and be on a progressive basis. The big thing that was at the impact night with the dust condition was primarily silicosis, because almost immediately after we got up and running that impact night, we had a person that came down with silicosis severe enough that he would be tired out of the mind. My time was 20 years, I had 26 years that I was there, was spent working in the tunnels underneath the feed stockpile for the concentrator. I cannot begin to imagine or begin to count how many hard discussions I had with managers, as a collaborator say, about we are not going to work at home until we get the dust collector system running correctly. At one time we had the equipment sealed up to the point and the dust collector systems working to the point that we got more dust from the building itself and makeup there than we had down underneath that dirt and pile. My question would be if I could trust the current administration of the health department within the state of Minnesota, is do we have any more studies looking at things other than just the cancer situation, and how contributory are they to the other pulmonary diseases that seem to be very prevalent up in this area? Thank you.
And Paul, that will hopefully be one of the questions that gets answered, because we've heard a lot about possible lung and respiratory diseases that aren't also, they're not necessarily normal, but there's certainly other lung type diseases, and I'm hoping that, and I'm sure that will be addressed.
We have members also in the University of Minnesota here this evening that have participated in other studies. I don't know if I mentioned them before with other agencies here. So I'm hoping that sometime during this evening that we can have some outcome where we're going to start to do something.
My personal feelings of closing time due to what is happening with this cancer study is that not only the department, but the managers of that health department have compromised the integrity of it. And once you compromise the integrity, we can no longer trust it.
I want to thank the chairs, President Salmanina and Karen Clark.
My name is Stephen Clark.
I'm the director for SOAR. That's the current steward of the group. We've got about 1,200 members of the Northeastern Minnesota. And what I want to talk to you a little bit about is that in 1999, we started a screening program for the employee with LPDCO. And the reason we did that is I'm fortunate enough to be on the International Executive Soil Board. I represent District 11. And in meetings up in the east, I heard about a legal group called Glasser & Glasser. And my son, who was the president of 41A at the time, he had been going up to president's meetings up in the east and also heard about this Glasser & Glasser. So that's who we got a hold of. And we started screening people. We started x-rays. In 1999, and we're doing it last to the present. And I must tell you that we've done we're at 480, out of 480, 286 are showing up with health problems because of asbestos like fire. And when we talk about just the learning process that I've been through, when we talk about asbestos like fiber, that's the commercial products. And also there's been discussions about the asbestos like fiber in the ore, and that's where the problem is. I know we had, in 2003, we had the Minnesota Department of Health do a program on this commercial asbestos. And they figured that that was the main problem in mining, and that's when we had 17 cases. Now we're up to, 52 or 53. So what makes the IRA different from the rest of the state? I mean, the products that they use in the mines for gaskets, for pumps, or brake shoes, or whatever, was used all over the state. So, but what's different? And I hope that when they finally do something with this project that they're talking about studying, I don't know if they're going to study asbestos like fiber to the ore or what. But I think it certainly needs looking at. And we've talked about this for 30-some years, and nothing's ever happened. And we just have one program or project after another, and still no determination as to what's causing this mesothelioma. Or like Representative Rukavina says, there is a hell of a lot more diseases than this mesothelioma. There's pleural plaque in lungs. There's internal organs that get affected by this asbestos like fibers. So just for the sake of the miners that are working now, I hope we find something out and find maybe they need some kind of protection. I've got some friends that retired from LPD Steel that are 70, 80 years old that should be really appreciating retirement, but they get hard to breathe. There's one fellow in Gilbert that's 94% disabled. And it's because of the asbestos like fibers. So I hope these kinds of things find out really what the problem is and then we can prevent it. Because it's not only for the retirees, because they're probably already contaminated, but it's for the people that are working in the mine now too. And I've got friends and relatives that are working in the mines now, so we're not just the oldies. So that's a concern. So I hope that the reason the brother just talked before me, the reason that I have a problem with what the Minnesota Department of Health has done so far, project in 2003, they just studied commercial products. And I guess all of us knew that there had to be more to it than that. But This is shorty of the influence of papers and rules and stuff that Minneapolis Star Tribune, the headline was commercial asbestos may be the problem. In the paper, the Saudi Media News, it says commercial asbestos products is the problem. And I don't think that we've proven it. I think there's more proof than that. So, thank you.
I believe it's going to be important for us to establish ownership, the managing agent, in particular, at the property and right place where you work. I assume it was primarily LGB during your time, but before that it was Erie and PM, I believe. We will need to know the dates of those ownerships. And we will also need to know the dates of the ownerships and what was reserved and is now North Shore. I think we need to establish ownership so that we can establish responsibility from the mining company and in order to get at what comes down the road in terms of the study. So perhaps the union can help us, the retirees, and in fact, our research staff can also help.
What experience I had, this asbestos-like fiber health problems didn't only stop with the hourly people, there's salary people that are affected too. And one of the fellows that used to be a supervisor out in the pit passed away. And his wife, the survivor, apparently has a lawsuit going. So I get a call one day from an attorney. And he wants to know if I involved with that asbestos scheme, and I said yes. And he said, you find lots of problems, and I said yes. And I said, well, who are you representing? Who are you talking about? So then he said the court's name. And then I said, well, which side of the argument are for the discussion are you on? And he said, well, I'm representing the defendants. So I hung up on it. So anyway, then about 5 days later, here comes the guy with the strip clothes on, and he said, here, this is yours. So he handed me a paper, and here was a summons to give a deposition on what we found out at LPG Steel. And other National Steel and the Cleveland Cliffs people that have been affected by this damn stuff. So anyway, I go up to the Cliff Hotel on the top floor, and there's a defense house, and there's a table of 12 attorneys representing different companies, and one attorney who's representing them in the middle. So anyway, we go through this rigmarole about who should be blamed, and you know, they're protecting their defendants, and I don't know what products they need, because that was one thing in the mining industry we were never told about asbestos products or anything. They were never identified. It's like Bill says earlier, we used to have safety meetings and stuff, and nobody ever talked about that. But anyway, we get all done with the meeting, and then when I walk outside and I'm talking to the attorney that's representing the widow, and I said, what's going on here? And he said, what's going on is what they're trying to do is they're saying that LTV is at fault because they didn't let people know about the hazards of asbestos like fibers. And so that leaves their companies off the hook. So I guess what it indicated to me is that both sides knew that there was asbestos-like fiber health problems there, and some of them were finally recognizing it. But I've been terribly frustrated since 1999, since we started this, and I've seen what I've been butting my head up against the brick wall. But I hope this starts something positive.
Good evening to everybody. My name is Bill Sauber. I'm the guy that started this whole ruckus back in 1990 when I came on as president. I worked at Pier 9 LTD. I've had cancer twice, though.
Four of the members up there know me very, very well. I know them very well. I wish I knew them better. Because when I went to the Triple R meet for money, Doug Johnson was there. Remember your old friend, Doug Johnson? Well, he was there, and he worked with me, and little Mr. Rossavina, Mr. Thomas Tony. We decided to go to the state to get the money for the study. And the study was supposed to be, why is there such a high rate of cancer in northeast Minnesota, and what could be done about it? That's exactly what I asked for at that time. And I thought that's what the money was going to go for. Well, Dr. Bender of the health department was there, and he said they could do this study. So they went back to the legislature, got the money, and when we come to do the study, I was supposed to be on citizens advisory board. Dr. Bender was modeling it. So the advisory board said, where's Joe? He's supposed to be here. He said he's not coming here. They said, oh yes, he is. So I went to put back on the board. Not once, but twice. And I fought hard, and when I found out he was going to take the money for his study, I went back to the legislature and told them about it. I said, they're not doing the study that they're supposed to be doing. Well, they got into doing the study, and when he finished the study, they said there were 17 people they had. And out of it, only four were possible commercial and aspects. And they only could prove one. At the end of the meeting, I told them, you know, Dr. Bender, and I'm on the whole, I'll admit that. I said, Dr. Bender, you're a liar, you're a thief, and you're a crook. You stole the money that was supposed to be for the study part. The people on the iron ring, and you did your study, and now you prove that you were wrong, and it's not all you say, I think you need another study. No, we don't need no more study, and you don't need to be blaming this for anything. We're all to blame. In 1994, I had articles in the Masama paper at a finding board that she was writing everything I told her. Even my picture was in it. It wasn't put, but it was there. But anyhow, I went up to the gate and I come back. We were going to do a third article, and she did it. And the editor refused that any other reporter to work with me from then on. I had no confidence in news media at all, because I was saying, Karen Singh was very good to me, and all the people that are here from the ring, to know the problem, I've talked about it, we used to have a program open mic, I went down here, anybody could call in, and everybody, you know, what I thought, we put our heads in the cage. And we managed to spend so long that we don't know what to do. But I'm here to give everyone a kick in the butt. We're not the fault, not the commissioner. I would have done exactly what she done with the people I had to work with in that department. Only one in that department stood up for me in those meetings. And she was fighting for herself. But she was a great gal, and I wish I could remember her name, but I don't. And all my records, my God, because that's what I don't have them anymore. What happened, I give them to my source. You know, I'm on the Bible source. So they took all my records. And when I had my last bout of cancer, I had my daughter's and phone record, and he gave the CD. And I found out all he wanted to do was to speak to me. I said, Judge, I don't sue anybody. I'm all through that. I'm off to that. All I want to do is save the children of theirs. The children that sort of getting in. You know, when the one North Virginia wanted to come taking into Virginia's water supply, I went to that meeting. I said, would you please sample our name? They said, no, we're not going to sample. All we're going to look at is what the company has to the game in Virginia's water. We're not going to touch the same taking. To this day, I don't think they can sample. So we don't know if there is asbestos being put into the Virginia water supply. I was in Midtech. When Midtech wanted to put their water north into Lake Virginia and everything north. And I asked them, I said, would you please sample the thing? No, we're not from Castle Pit. I said, why not? And he said, because you've been open on Castle Pit. Well, you know what? The can of worms opened up now. And we got enough people sitting right here that can do something about it. And it's up to you people to do something about it. And not to study more stupid studies. And if you say you have to have a study, okay, then get an independent agency to do it. Not the health department. Because there's too many people in there that are owned by somebody else.
Thank you. by my name is Andrew Rick.
There was like smoke in the wind, but he was on Moody's Grand Open Mike Radio. He was battling, but he was just all in one smoke and wind. And also trying to get some action up here. I have a little different wrinkle there with the dust. I was cleaning out my raindrops, and it was a slight inconsistency there. At a 120, I was cleaning this stuff. And of course, there's that shingle business coming down too. But I thought, no, this is too strange to me, so I put it in a coffee can and brought it to a private lab. I got the report right here. It says, iron, silica, phosphorus, calcium, magnesium, aluminum, and manganese. So I said to the lab, how old would that be? That's actually based on mining, right? On my shingles at the home. So we must be breathing that stuff because it's coming through the air. So I didn't know if that put in a dust collecting system, and they had a private firm do that. When I walked by there trying to get some information, it wasn't available. They had to give it to the company. You know what happened to that? They only give a damn thing. So I was at a meeting where Joe Scholar was too, and I questioned the pollution control agency and pursued it with the people in Maroon and St. Paul, and they said that the company was in their limits, the minimum limits of dust in the air. Another thing too, after you get a good snowfall, nice clean white snow, in about a day or two that snow will break. And I live on a lake and it's level as it's floor, and that snow is great in about 2 days. Where does that come from? So I got through on my raindrop, I got the report right here from the lab. And so there's got to be, certainly in sympathy with the vessel theory. So we have a dust problem up here, lung cancer, respiratory problems, and you're not going to get help from the company because they're always within limits with all their sites. And so I guess that's about all I have to say. If anybody on that committee wants a copy of this, they're welcome to have it. Thank you. Any language with those callers that you know, they just said, you know, we've been at the table pond at Jerry Mining formerly, all you keep the border, and you could not see across that pond, there was so much dust there. But like the fellow said previously, nothing was ever done. And you're not going to get much help from the company, I'll tell you that. No, I have 44 years there, and I know it's late. Thank you. And thank you, Don, for getting your committee up here.
Of what? There's no energy some days, one of those 50 can't go.
to this very day, I can wash clothes and use white washcloth. And he would use the washcloth at night. In the center of my white washcloth was black, filling my response with 4 years. It's very sad. They do have safety equipment at LCD when the guys were there. It was limited, but not enough. The stuff was fully out there. The guys would come home filthy, dark, cars, and they hauled them home. Right now, we've got LCD and there's a company out there. They're selling a landscape tax knife. They're selling to daily, setting it and using it in different buildings and other roads in the winter with the salt. We have a lot of men on our group who don't keep money for dying. And if we can learn in a study, that's fine. Learn it and save some of our younger kids because we've lost our older people. Because once they are affected by the sun condition, there is no turning back. But you've got this going all over the state in different parts. It can't grow. It already has been said there's a high rate of asbestos in the taconite that is the Iron Age. We live in town. And like I said, looking in front of me, they spoke. We have beautiful homes. Our houses have coolings on the shingles, black rivets. I asked my husband what they put in them. I never thought before. We have a great roof on our house. We've got black streets. Everybody has. Our clothes and coal signs are dirty. There is something out there in all the mines. I'm not saying every mine company, but everybody has to get together and do something. You have to study what you've done. Your studies are over with. We've got to take care of the younger people. There is problems out of the mind. The very thing my husband said the second thing to these guys were just a little orthodox and a little mad. That's what they have to take their minor. Yeah, please use dooms and a hard hat and rock. What is that? Come on, open and protect these men at all. And they didn't ask to have a job and everybody said, well, you're a steward, you make big money. No, they didn't make big money for their lives and health. We need people like you to represent us. We're in there to represent us. You've done a good job, but we need you to do a little more. But we need to find companies to be accountable and to straighten out the problem. There's got to be some better ways of handling the emissions that are coming out of the mine. For years, we're going to do something never did. Let's stop this thing. Let's do something. Let's get something doing. If a mine is going to operate and make billions and billions of dollars, they should be able to invest some of their billions of dollars to save the environment, save the families, but to save the workers. And that's just how I feel, and I just don't have to tell you what I felt. I am with the sources over in Aurora with Dave Fox, and we had ran and had some studies done with the men, and it's very sad out of our group of SOAR members that I watched the men come in and say, we've been diagnosed with asbestos. There's no turning back into them. So I hope somebody can help these guys. It's too late for us, but it isn't too late for our children and grandchildren to have a better life. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's a pleasure to exercise that here. I'm Val Perry, and I'm going to talk about the mining experience at the Dirt Mine Company. Started there in 1965 and was laid off there in 1986. Then in the 1970s, the mine board that had some exposure into the roads of the people during that time. I spent about 3 months down there and listened to the testimony and testified on behalf of the company that I was in. There were 2 or 3. We were all worried about our jobs at that particular time and what we sold. And the big topic at that time was ingested fibers. And I guess the outcome of those hearings was that there were volunteer limits, everything was going along fine. I looked around the room this evening and I see other reserve mining company employees here. And their concerns, or my concerns, being in the back of my mind, since I left that mining property in 1986, were those fibers harmful to us? Because I don't know that. I haven't had a medical problem in that area. are the reserve mining employees or the LTV employees, and the study comes out one day where it's in 35 that has authorized the mental syndrome, and the following day or 2 days later it comes out that there's 58. And then in that same newspaper article, this information has been withheld for a year from us people out here in the community. Always in the back of my mind, wondering if there is a health hazard that we have been exposed to. I haven't been tested personally, but a lot of my friends have. And to my knowledge, the reserve population and now reserve mining company employees, I don't know if there's been any of those that have had mental acuity, but as I look around, there's a lot of them not. What I want to know, and I want to thank this committee for coming here to at least talk about this, and hopefully we'll get the state of Minnesota back on the right track. What is being withheld, what hasn't been released, and what's been stuck under the carpet during this administration? I just want to thank you again for this opportunity to speak with you and thank you.
brother-in-law who died of mesothelioma. I have a husband who died of melanoma of the lung. Believe me, melanoma is not always skin cancer. And I have a father-in-law who is at West Head for them to be black lung. My brother-in-law was in mesothelioma, suffered horribly. After death, it was not a pleasant situation, and his wife is still so embittered with doing mining company. My husband's melanoma was diagnosed about 4 or 5 years ago. He went to the university for a two-research project, which they didn't help him, okay, and the adult studies have since been disbanded. I am so appalled at this, whatever, if you want to call it a cover-up, you call it what you want, that the best health department did. And I will tell you that I can even go back a little further, because about 12 years ago, my husband had a lung examination from a doctor in Virginia who found a spot on his lung. And after 2 or 3 exams, the mining company sent those x-rays to Cleveland. And they said there was nothing there. There was no further need for any examination. I don't know that was there. I don't think that was true. But on the other hand, I feel that that was a cover-up. Trigger finger operation, but you didn't say anything else.
Well, he went for the, after he had the surgery and went back to the doctor here at Virginia Regional, or East Range Clinic, as it was in those days, he got the follow-up history, the antibiotics that they had given him didn't do any good. His lung was still black as coal. So he went to the doctor on the visit and asked what he could do for him. And the doctor said, well, I can't do anything. And what my husband meant was, what happens next? Is there any cancer suggestion or anything like that? And he did say that 59, you're too old for a lung transplant. And they did a lung seminar together. And you're also, I wouldn't be able to hook you up with a specialist. But I don't know what he could do for it. So back and forth, we went after some discussions on how we should do this. In the meantime, Senator Wellstone was here in Virginia, and he had a meeting up in Carpenter Hall on the third floor. Well, in the meantime, my husband did get oxygen, and so he was carrying his oxygen tank, and he walked up to the third floor, and there's no elevator in the building. And we had quite a few discussions, and Joe from Stoller from White Lakes was also there too. He'll remember this, I'm sure. And we discussed with Wellstone what the problems were and stuff. We didn't have a complete diagnosis yet, but and he was very interested and was sorry that he had the building that wasn't handicapped accessible. And so we went to the specialist. Also, there was from that time the hearing and debating him on the funds to be used for the program in the health department that Joe talked about. And Bill was in a wheelchair at the time, and I was quite extensively interviewed by reporter Bill Channel again at that time. And we finally got to on June 2nd of 1998. We got to the Dr. Zimmerman, the specialist down at the Little Plain, and we brought the x-rays along. And all he did was put the x-ray up on the board and said to Earl, we would have asbestosis. Now, asbestosis is the silicosis of the asbestos. It isn't the mesothelioma, the cancer. It's the other type that smoking can bother and all other bad things. And so that's also something that you need to take care of and look into. And mostly, the problem is how people should deal with this and how they can live a somewhat better life after this. And it got so that my husband was soon in an electric wheelchair. He didn't have enough strength to do the wheeling himself and so on. And so he got his electric wheelchair, and knowing him, the jack of all trades, he put on the little spin lights, and so he could go and light corn. And I remember on his 71st birthday, we went over to Washington Manor, and we had to move from that because the house doesn't have accessible, you know, for wheelchairs and that type of thing. Oh, okay, yeah, I know I can't come. And the thing that amazed me the most was how fast that took him down. He was diagnosed on June 2nd of 98, and he was dead on January 6th of 99. Just 6-7 months that he lived after the diagnosis. And they started his heart 2 times, but there was no lung left. Thank you.
Also, I'd like to remind you that we can keep this somewhat, the testimony somewhat brief. We do, I'm going to ask her, I think there's one other person who wants to get up here, Ed Walmsley, who's in her office. There was another one. So, and after that, we're going to try to bring up the people from the department of health. And so, anybody else that we can keep it brief that wants to testify, you come up here and tell us your story, but try to keep it brief.
I
just for the intercom system, I thought we had one here in the building, but we only have one mic.
Walter Kersick, Penguin, Minnesota. I don't have any specific testimony to give, but some events this week are of a concern to me. We began with receiving the EIS from Minnesota Steel Plant. The next day, this study, whether it's a cover-up or whatever else it may happen to be, came out and the hearings began. But looking at the data on the study, it goes back to, I believe, January 2006, and it took about a year, year and a half for EIS for Minnesota Steel to come out. So that really pitches up to that in my head. Questions I have concerning this study. The state data includes toxic metals and or excess metals and silicosis causing deaths to miners or residents in the area. Another question I have is, does the data include non-workers living in the area, such as residents? Are any of the former Butler workers outside of Nashwauk, are they included in the study? Also, next to the Butler plant was a location called Cooley, and residents of Cooley, I know, have had several health problems. These are my main items. Thank you.
And those questions, you know, I'm sure that the Department of Health can answer for you. So we'll get them to talk to you or afterwards or get in touch with you because we have your name.
The proposed Minnesota Steel Plant has 10 spun ponds that they intend to reuse the Butler plant, and they intend to enlarge it and make it higher and to bring it within a quarter mile of the residence. Now once these ponds dry out, the wind carries whatever there is, north, south, east, and west. Thank you.
I'm from Virginia. Died of mesothelioma in 1985.
And I'm just taking through some of this stuff here, and it's showing that the mesothelioma is 70% above the expected level from 88 to 97. Doesn't seem to be any data in here prior to the 1987 period. But I can distinctly remember in 1985 when my father died, 2 weeks after he died, I had a doctor question a little bit while sitting there, read an article in the paper about Conlin and a lot of people that were dying down there from mental people at home. The terrible disease, but my concern is that it's not just the people that are working in the mines, it's the people that are living in this environment. And not the outside environment only, it's the inside environment. A lot of these houses in these towns are all here, have insulated pipes in the basement and stuff for a steam system that are still asbestos. We have people going in and out of there leaking meters for a lot of light departments. The pipes outside are asbestos filled. All of that stuff being disposed of. How is it when they're getting rid of it? How much of that is getting into the air? It's not just the mining company. I'm not here to bash the health department or anything. I think we're going to do that. We're going to have to go back more than just this administration. I can go all the way back to 1985 when my dad died, and I haven't seen a lot of change since then. So there's been more than one administration here at fault. And I hope that this doesn't fall under the radar like it did in 1985.
Experience goes back to 1942, and I retired in 1982. I worked in the Western District, and we didn't have patinage there, but we did deal with dust, with diesel fumes, with industrial asbestos, and solvents and things of that nature. I'm fortunate to have lived as long as I did, because I didn't get quite a bit of that stuff. But I guess, to make this thing short, is that the people that are in this younger age that are affected with the diatomite dust that contains asbestos particles, there's not much we can do with them except they compensate. But what do we do from here on out? How are we going to deal with what happens in the future? So it's going to take a joint effort on the part of everybody if we're going to keep the taconite industry alive. Thank you.
Thank you for whoever was responsible for bringing us to this record. I'm a retiree from U.S. Steel in Penn Flat. We have to bring up here and down. My name is Ed Walden. I'm from Evelyn. And I'd like to talk a little bit just a few seconds here about what it's like to be on the plants today. As a 4 years ago, when I retired, anyway, but it's something different today than it was. Like with the Omegas we're talking, been in the mines a long time before we, but you still, if you look at the dry side of the background process, you still have a hard time seeing the process move. And I don't think we're going to deal with any kind of, big dust. And what it's like with the plant working, and it seemed like in my career, or anyway, pollution was low. It's about that the state police before, you see, have one caller that unions or a seat of care or than the company, but they put control on the staff, the scrubbers, and what have you. And basically, when that happened, about 100%, but basically, you stop the truck going outside and you're holding it into the plant. And the work that she signed up, of course I don't get as dirty as the basic lab surgery. I just hope, according to the people, I think I read about this, really made me irate. Number one, it made me irate when there was another study, I don't know how many studies we're going to have, and it made me really upset when they had the results over the year and they're going to keep a secret. And I think there should be some repercussions and consequences for that meeting with whoever is responsible. I also think that with only there be dust and the technology will never be able to do that. I also believe that people have tried this illness, they're trying to bury the pharyngitis with asbestos, and I don't think that it's necessarily asbestos. I think tying it to asbestos just prolongs it and makes it harder to find. It's like Milton's story. Can't see the forest for the trees. You work at that plant, you can't wear short sleeves because if you get the dust on your arm and you rub it, it goes into your head. The dust goes into your skin like tiny slivers. And that's why people wear coveralls when it's hot in there to protect themselves. But it goes into your lungs. But I saw that their hearing protection was not required, and we didn't realize what we did, and that was my years ago. If I don't know that, I'm aware I wore hearing protection. And I started wearing it when I made it aware that you're going to hurt your ears, and it's going to be mandatory. Everybody wears hearing protection. I don't believe that if people lower the respirators they have today, that we would have this problem. We have the dust problem, but we wouldn't have the cancer problem because the technology is there. What I can't understand is the state of Minnesota and the health department, companies like U.S. Steel and all have respirators. Why don't they strongly recommend or even tell them to make it mandatory for companies to have their employees wear that? They're fighting so hard to avoid the liability, and I understand that. But if they make that mandatory, that solves the problem. I'm sure it's an inconvenience. It would have been inconvenience for me too. But it would have been a hell of a lot better to have that inconvenience than it would be to have that disease. Thank you for giving me your opportunity.
chemicals in the mines was doing to our lungs.
there's a minor here that never thought about it. I'd like to have Pasco leave. I can't believe there's nothing. You weren't there. Look, you two were my friends. You knew about it then. We talked about it. Yeah.
We think I heard it.
Yeah, so this stuff is going around. Things, it's just a good one. Dr. Steven, the radiologist, he's been studying. He did a study of the cancer, lung cancer, way back then. Yeah. And nothing ever happened. My wife happened to be working with a radiologist. And he was doing a study in 1982 to 1984 of lung cancer. Yes, we did have to keep pretty steady. Yeah. So this isn't something new. This isn't something that's been covered up in the last year. It's been going on for, I think, since the first time my mind opened up in Babbitt and called it that, about 54, 53. You know, every miner has always thought about what that is doing for our lungs. We made our videos. I was young, didn't wear a respirator and stuff. I know now when I retired 3-4 years ago, the impact on most of the guys trying to wear a respirator and stuff like that. You know, some of it's my fault. But, you know, to say this has been known about it, that's kind of a, we've been hostages about it. We can stick our head in the sand and nobody's doing anything about it. That's all right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Rudolph, you made mention of a dust monitor for a MNCHA study that you wore. I'm wondering when you wore that and who you were working for when you wore that, and if there's any chance that you might be able to find any kind of records from that.
Are you listening to the contributor? And I'm sure everyone, I'm sure you, almost everybody, the middle-aged, a lot of people were, but there were people were on this block all the time, and it was our head shot. In the, well, I was building the concentrator from 1970 to 1980, so in that period. Now, and it warm after that, too. How many went to war when I went back? And our last speaker here, Chad.
Thanks for having me here to speak. My name is Robert Bassett. I'm a 31-year veteran of mining at the Conservator and the Governor at Midpack and all lands. And it seems to me that we have plenty of evidence that we need to have a study. I disagree with Mr. Stoller that the studies have not been goal specific. And what I mean by that is we should be doing core samples across iron range, identifying where the asbestos-like fibers may occur and within which ore bodies are the highest concentrations. Can we stay away from certain areas within ore bodies? Can we blast at times when the wind is not at high levels, by the distribution of the fibers? The respiratory answer, if you want kids walking around in the schools and in the playrooms outside and wearing respirators 24 hours a day, I guess you could filter out all the fibers and find some still blue on one room to be able to eat your supper. But I don't think that's a practical answer. To be fair to the iron mining industry, we have to realize and give them credit, although most of that has been done by the unions, that we have good paying jobs and good benefits. We have to realize that we must probably accept some trade-off, because we literally must earn a living, and that has to go along with the possibility that we may get something that will shorten our lives 10 or 20 years. But the main thing I'm looking for tonight is to get a study. study tonight and get some results soon so that the widows of miners decide to leave the diploma will not die of poverty when the mining companies can pocket their patients. And we always try to see things as political, kick the football around here and there. But while we're doing that, valuable time is being wasted. So what we should be concentrating on is giving the opportunity for people, instead of walking around and doing this, to walk around and do this. And I asked Mr. Mandernach to do the right thing now, to say that she will support Mr. Thomasoni's motion and bring it to the governor and say, Governor Clinton, I agree with Mr. Thomasoni that we need to open a special session, get this funding passed for the study so we can get this ball rolling and we can get the initial studies where this fiber is and get them a million studies done to see if the fiber do indeed cause Eastern Canova and if it does, then start on the solutions to lessen the impact on the community. Will you do that, Mr. Lattimore? Will you work with Tom Sony to get funding for that study, open a special session and get this ball rolling right now? Will you commit to that? But she can bring a recommendation that Thomas, as she believes Mr. Thomas' idea is good. And if we're in the list of stores, then we can get this thing rolling. We don't have time on this. But this is the goal is not going to wait. Those miners that have this condition in the early stages now, that in that year or two, they don't have time. We have to move quickly, and we have to work together to do this. We have to quit making this political, and we have to work together. And by doing that, we'll get the funding, we'll get the space for us. And I hope that this will be successful. Thank you for allowing me to speak. Yes, sir.
Hello, my name is Burnley Lane, Jr. I'm a 30-year veteran working in all the TACNAS companies in the plant. So here it means, I don't know my hand. I'm a second-generation miner. To be a contractor, I'm a contract that spent 30 years visiting the mining companies, and they told us, this is just happened to us. And you're teaching us. So it is. Their uncles, aunts, children, grandparents, and grandmothers that are dying from these diseases. My family has a bunch of them. We bring that dust home, we go to the work, we manage the mining companies, we build the mining companies, we build another plant, we build everything. Our uncles are miners. I have a son that's a miner. I have relatives that are miners, and they are dying. I cannot understand here today why all the people of my age at 54 years old that just retired in the last 5 years, they're not sitting here today. They're not sitting here looking at you folks that are going to help. You see some really good speeches here, and they always keep their time. My husband passed away, they succumbed to his death. And it's a long, slow death. I sat next to many of them for people dying on it, the doctors will tell you. It's a long, agonizing death. It's tough. And I'm probably going to be one of them. And I'm just going to retire, and I'm probably going to have a job tomorrow for being here. But I'm really shocked to not see the people in my generation. I see about 4 of them in the back there. But if they're retired, they're still going to retire. All of these guys that are a little bit older than me, they're gone in their history and their toes. The doctors can't do anything for them. Nothing they can do. Put them on steroids and you blow up this thing in their head. The talk is done. It's time to make action and get it done. They had all these tests and committees. I'm one of the worst job makers in the industry when it comes to construction work. We have all the know-how to control the dust, they can control the hazard dust, and all the asbestos fibers and all those things. All the technology and techniques are there. They are right there. We all go to MSI, we do all of these things. There's no need for it.
the future is bright for the energy range and for the contractors and for the mining companies. And for the mining people, this is mining country up here, like they went through this in the South before. It's all been gone through many, many times. All those committees didn't do anything, forming committees, going through all the politics, didn't do nothing. Fix it, take care of these people, and help them. The other day I went to see my grandchildren, that's coming down by the light view of the sky. The dust was so bad with that light. Kevin Yee, that was mine. I'm not going to mine something to heal them. We love the mining companies. We need them, and they need us. All of the people. The politicians need them, they all need it. We need to curb that. The news media, they watch over the mining companies. Fix the dust, they can do it. It's not that big a problem. But what are they going to do about the people that were unaware of the dust and asbestos in the fibers that are in the materials involved in mining companies? And the mine pits and all of the things, it's nothing new. The blasting agents, everything that's there, the road dust, do it, fix it, and make it happen. They don't need committees that take the money pits. And like I say, one time again, you ever stand next to somebody that's passing away in a bed? And sometimes it takes up to $15 and you'll stand there if you love that person. And everybody here has family, you'll sit there next to that person when they're passing away. It is not easy. I know about dust, I'm a 3M certified thin tester and a 3M dust control, and I'm big time into controlling dust, and it's very controllable. It's just that it's all coming all at once, and at one time, to all the mining companies everywhere in the country that they need to help these folks that are passing away, and I think you folks, this committee, can do that very shortly. Just make it happen. And once again, all the mining people that I work with, I've had to stand up in front of 200-300 people from the Port of Jones and other plants, and all those things that I helped build, that was a supervisor for doing that. They're all environmental people. They have race, they have children, they're just like us. They want it to be right, and you folks can just tell them, make it right, it is not a problem. The money is there. Thank you.
Nelson are here this evening. Thank you for being here. And now I believe Mr. Mikulski from the Congressman over there about the bond to be there. And then I'd like the Department of Health President to come up with you.
Thank you very much, Chairman Rubino. I think the last time I called you chairman, you were chair of the Virginia School Board, and my mother had to convince you to sign my high school diploma. I had some information handed to me here that asbestos has not been banned by the federal government. The U.S. Senate banned wording as a bill consented to ban asbestos, increase public awareness and fund research for mesothelioma, asbestosis, and other asbestos-related diseases. Representative Betty McCollum from Minnesota here will introduce in the House, but we're going to have a few weeks, similar legislation in Congress and orders that are is going to be a co-sponsor of that legislation. I have a statement here from Congressman Jim Oberstar that I would like to bring forward to the Minnesota Department of Health's decision to delay the public release of information regarding the deaths of 35 higher-ranked miners reveals a disturbing lack of judgment. I am also very troubled that the department did not share with me their proposal and their inability to secure federal funding to study these mesothelioma-related deaths. Mesothelioma is a rare form of cancer caused by asbestos, and we must promptly respond to this public health crisis that is plaguing so many lives. This is the first I have heard that the Minnesota Department of Health was seeking federal funding to examine the issues of asbestos-related cancer in the mining community. If the department had sought my assistance with this funding request, I am confident that the state would already have been able to initiate this critical health study. If they had included the Federal Mine Safety and Health Administration in their findings, progress may have been made to prevent miners from asbestos dust. If they had consulted prominent health researchers at the University of Minnesota, we would know more today about occupational risks related to mining. If the United Steelworkers Union was told about the findings, more families would be equipped with knowledge about their own health. Instead, we have lost precious research time, have lost faith in the Minnesota Department of Health, and have potentially lost more lives. If the government has information concerning dangers in the workplace, the government has a fundamental responsibility to make that information known to the public. I have inferred that the Minnesota Department of Health has acknowledged the significant errors in judgment that the Minnesota State Legislature has held two important hearings to get the facts. With knowledge comes a responsibility to act, and it is imperative that all federal, state, the local lawmakers, and other officials are working together to help our taconite workers. I pledge to work with the Centers for Disease Control to help the Iron Range Legislative Delegation and the United Steelworkers of America in obtaining funding to study asbestos and health-related issues to the taconite industry. Through all my service in Congress, I have always been committed to ensuring the safety of workers on the Iron Range Intensive Station is very crucial to me. Where my grandfather and father spent their lives working in the Godfrey Underground Mine in Chisholm. As a young man, I spent a summer covered in dust from working in the mines. My former colleague, Bruce Bento, who served with me in Congress for 24 years, suffered from mesothelioma before it claimed his life in the year 2000. Might I add that Mr. Bento's will is here this evening as well. The Minnesota Department of Health's failure to release this information has impacted real people's lives. Now, we must determine the cause of these mining deaths and make the necessary changes in the mine to protect the dedicated workers. And that is from Congressman.
Ms. Matternack and Commissioner Matternack and Mr. Bender probably and staff, why don't you come on up and draw, can you say a few comments personally afterwards?
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to appear before the Senate Committee
Would you be talking about the release of the mesothelioma data? I want to start again apologizing for not releasing the information earlier about the 35 additional cases of mesothelioma in the mothers on the range. It was a mistake, and I truly regret it. And I especially want to thank you, apologize to all of you. It was a real mistake. And listening to your story, your frustration, I do apologize. It is awesome. And that's the most I can do. As many of you know, I'm a resident of Moose Lake, northern Minnesota. My father died of lung cancer. He didn't work in the mines, but he did work in an industry where there was a great deal of smoke. He was not a smoker. My uncle and cousin grew up in Haiti. I'm keenly aware about the questions and the frustrations that have been in the IM range around mesothelioma for many, many years. My intentions were guided really by the desire to release information about the 35 new cases along with a plan to answer the question, what is the actual cause of the disease among the IM miners? Currently, there is a great deal of scientific uncertainty about whether the fibers found in the taconite ore play a role in the development of mesothelioma. The Minnesota Department of Health has been attempting to address the question about mesothelioma on the IM range for nearly 30 years. In fact, every commissioner of health since the 1980s, Sister Mary Madonna Ashton and Governor Burbage have dealt with this issue. I sincerely wanted to come to resolution and to bring this issue to closure. Listening tonight, we have heard history from the years when the condition first started, when in fact the issues, the health issues began to emerge in the mind. Over many years, the department has performed several mesothelioma studies. Unfortunately, none of them were funded. In 1998, the department succeeded in getting funding from the legislature to establish the Occupational Respiratory Disease Information System, known as ORDIS. Through this system, we had intended to study the job histories of iron miners who developed mesothelioma. Unfortunately, in 2002, before we were fully able to develop the system, the enabling legislation and funding was repealed. It was at this time that the department did a study of the 17 miners, and that report was released in 2003. We did not look at the exposure to taconite dust. We had always intended that to be the next step. We did learn one important fact. The 17 individuals we studied had exposure to commercial industrial asbestos, which is a known risk factor for mesothelioma. It was an important finding, but it didn't answer all the questions. Knowing all the frustrations that have surrounded this issue in the past, I wanted to be able to release the data on the 35 new cases along with a plan to seek funding to conduct the study so that we could assure the IM range community and the miners that we were doing everything possible to resolve and put closure on this issue. That's why in March, in the news release, you'll see that when we announced the 35 cases, we also talked about having a plan to seek funding. I preferred not to release the data alone. I wanted it to be more than a count.
I didn't want to control frustration by not having a plan. In retrospect, that was an error in judgment, and I take responsibility for that. To answer all the questions that are currently in the public and really reflected here tonight, we actually need to do three things, three studies. The first study will be the case control investigation of mesothelioma around former minors. This will include evaluating past exposure to commercial asbestos and silica dust for both the case and control minors, based on job titles, historical hygiene data about asbestos and dust exposures. The second study will be a respiratory health study of Chaconite minors. This study will determine whether there are pulmonary function changes in the minors that are associated with duration and type of work in the mine. And the third study will be a mining mortality study. This will include comparing the observed number of deaths from each cause in miners with the expected number based on Minnesota mortality rate. We are committed to doing these studies and to finally addressing the many lingering issues and questions related to the health and safety of Chaconite miners. In addition to these studies, we will review our internal processes for releasing data. We are committed to releasing important information about the health of Minnesotans in a timely and responsible manner. We will keep you all informed about our progress on this issue as we move forward down what I sincerely hope will be a productive path. I would like to offer that we will come back in 6 months to have a community meeting to update you with the information that we have at that point, where we are in the process, what we know, and how things are moving forward. I sincerely hope that we can move in a positive direction, that we can work together, get answers, and solve the situation that's been around for 30-some years. Thank you, and I will take your questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Commissioner, for coming. I want to ask you, and I want to ask you very emphatically, are we going to work as hard on Iron Range in dealing with this issue as we are on the PFA issue, and how much work, I know how much work the Department of Health has done in Washington County, Southern Washington County, dealing with the 3M chemical. Unfortunately, the folks up here don't have a good company like we have down there that's still around and still viable. It just makes me mad, all these mining companies that buy all these, put their money out of these and let these poor young people sitting up there alone. And that's stupid my mind, but it's frustrating for me. Because we're blessed down there where I come from, where 3M is that we stood up and admitted. Are we working as hard for these folks up here as we are on the 3M issue in Washington County?
Mr. Chairman, sir, thank you for having me. You have my slide down there.
Commissioner, The government has absolutely no trust in the people up here, and from the people up here, there's not been one shred of confidence in the government. How are you expecting to work with them? You didn't expect them to come forward and work with you? I can't imagine them doing it.
I would hope that what people on the Iron Range really are looking for are answers and solutions to problems. that's what we heard tonight, or that's what I heard tonight. That these individuals are very frustrated, they have watched friends die, they don't have answers, they don't know why. They know that there is a great deal of dust, they don't know what it is doing to their health, but their health is affected. And I heard that they want answers. So I would hope that the intention is that we can work together and that we can get resolution and answers so that we know what needs to be done to protect the future people.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner, we've seen here tonight why I felt the frustration that I felt and the disappointment that I felt in your department that your decision was not here's the information in a timely manner. This is a serious, serious problem. I asked you to resign in a letter to the governor. I asked you to resign personally at a committee meeting. You said you're not going to resign. And so I'm not going to ask you to do it again, but I'm going to ask you to follow up on what Governor Mahoney just said, that I don't know how we're supposed to trust the department to get this job done. And I know, though, that your department has a real lot of information. We know a lot of statistics. I think I heard the number of 72,000 people that have been surveyed. We know about the deaths. We know about the potential for other problems. I would love to see some kind of independent study on it, and I'm hoping that your department will cooperate with whoever does the study, when you get somebody to do a study. I don't think anybody in this room trusts the department to do the study anymore. We've talked about 30 years of studies going to this department and actually not getting anything done. And all I'm going to ask you tonight is that when you find somebody to do an independent study and you do something outside of the Department of Health, that your department cooperates 110% of the people who do studies, so that we can get some kind of an answer, we can find out where the problems are coming from, and that the people who are working the mines today can have some kind of reasonable assurance that there will be some kind of protection so they don't have to worry about this type of a problem when they retire and when they are supposedly enjoying the twilight of their life. So that's what I'm asking you, Commissioner, and I don't need to answer tonight, but I'm hoping that somewhere along the way that if we do find an independent study, we will cooperate on it completely.
First of all, I sincerely want to thank all the legislators alongside the range who took the time to come here and be with us and help us sort through our problems. And I know that you know that range legislators will do the same for you. Should this something take off as this happens to you. Commissioner, you and I had a short conversation on Tuesday at the first hearing, and I stand by what I said to you, but that is, I don't believe that this is a problem caused by you, your leadership, or your department. I remember when your staff briefed us, but we asked if the governor has included money for additional study for this purpose. The answer was no. We'll do it with grants. Perhaps the feds were okay. Last Tuesday, Senator Tomasoli asked about including this item, money for this study, in a potential special session. I haven't heard anything about that. Also, from my own experience in state government, everybody in this room should know a decision of this magnitude and an issue of this magnitude rises above the level of the commissioner. It goes right to the governor. And folks, this isn't the governor's office. This is the governor. And
so I joined the people and I joined the legislators that are here and share the frustration. And I too have lost confidence in the independent ability of the department to take the next step. And the next step, unfortunately, Joe Scholar, is a real independent, unfettered analysis of exactly who is sick, who has died, what the cause is, where it's coming from, so that in order to take the second step, which is potentially a class action lawsuit against the employer, we have something to go on. Now, Representative Rubio and I have had daily conversations about the study issue, Commissioner. And we both have reached the conclusion that Senator Thomas Owens is right, that it really has to be an independent, unfettered study performed by somebody other than your department. And so I know Representative Rubio, we weren't really going on to talk about this at this setting, but I think considering the testimony that we've heard, I think perhaps it would be appropriate for you to share with the people what our discussions have been.
Well, I represent myself and I talked with some of the other members of the delegation. I get a hold of the members yesterday. I was thinking about this issue. And it has been around for a long time, Joe, 30 years. Joe Vegas, Joe Scholar, Rudy, other members who talked here today. And I know people in this audience are frustrated, and there's fear, and there's a lot of, you can feel a little anger in this room, and perhaps rightly so. We've had all kinds of questions over those 30 years. Is this a taconite? Was it commercial? Is it the dust? Who's being affected? And yesterday, I talked to President Clark about this earlier also, and President Surridge and Senator Tommy Sowing, Senator Clark, I couldn't get a hold of and apologize. But we talked to the President of the University of Minnesota yesterday, President Bruin, who I said, President Bruin, the University of Minnesota was built on iron ore royalties. I don't know if you folks know that there's trust funds down at the university that fund professors. There's trust funds from their mineral, they own mineral rights. It's like the mining company, the university. They have trust funds that give scholarships. They get $7 to $10 million a year yet with only five mining companies running. So I asked the president, President Lewis, will you help us? I was on the phone yesterday with, I think, Regent Barca from Chisholm, Minnesota, who is a radiologist, is here. I talked to Dean Johnson, who's a new member of the Board of Regents, who was the Senate Majority Leader. And the university has pledged to be, as of yesterday afternoon and today, to jumpstart this study by possibly looking first at the dust. We'll use the NRI facility. The Natural Resource and Research Institute has an endowment also created by Taconite Well. And they get about $1.3 million a year in royalty in interest that they use over at the Coleraine Lab. We want to test the rock initially, the dust, at all the different mines, see what is in their findings, put this to rest if it is the dust or if it's commercial. And quite frankly, with the testimony we heard today and the comments by some of the members up here, I would like to see the University of Minnesota lead this study and working with the Department of Health, let them be the lead, because I don't think there's any trust left in this room, and I don't know if there's much trust left in the legislature that this can be done by your department. So what I am proposing here today, members, is that the university, which I they promise they can start this with some of their own resources, because we can't wait for a special session or whether or not you're going to go back and ask for money. It's been two funding cycles that you could have asked for money and you didn't. But the university seems to care about this issue, and they are here tonight and have said to me this afternoon at 5 o'clock that they can start this, that they would like to work with the Department of Health, Dr. Bender, and all the information you've garnered, that they would like to bring everybody to the table, whether it's the mining industry or the union. And I think something that happened and mentioned tonight are all those members, Senator Boss, of your construction industry, and Representative Anzell, if you were a laborer, construction laborer's lobbyist. Those people work in the mines alongside of you, and I got two calls today from widows of those people who work in the industry alongside the steel workers. So I would like to get support from this committee today to have Commissioner, the university, spearhead this study, work with you. But we immediately need to do something to put this whole, whether it's black snow or dust on clotheslines or whatever issue, to rest. We have a couple of doctors here from the School of Public Health, I believe it is, from the University of Minnesota, that have said that they will do this. They have the permission of the Board of Regents. Dr. Barbas, I believe the chair of the board, or maybe he got kicked out, I don't know. But he was, and he's here. And I think it would make maybe everyone in this room, because there's a lot of suspicions and conspiracy theories and everything else, but the bottom line is this. Taconite industry and the natural core wealth of this state helped build this state. And it still helps our university, and it still helps our school districts throughout the state, and it's an industry we need, and it's an industry our strangers need to exist. But nobody has to die working for a mining company, and nobody should die working for a mining company. I guess we're saying tonight, your termination is something we can't do. We asked for it, we felt extremely hurt by what happened and angered. But tonight I'm not bringing that up anymore. I just say it. You can hear from this audience and from members up here that there's a little lack of confidence. And so I'm proposing that, members, and I'm throwing it out, and I want to know what you think. And I guess the senator from Cook is going to tell me right away.
I want to echo something that Representative Anzell said. I want to thank all of you members of the legislature and committee staff that not only an evening, but a couple days away from your family to come here and learn about this important issue in northern Minnesota. And all of you in the audience for taking the time to get informed on this and participate, taking time away from your families to do that, to do the heavy lifting to all the people that are sitting home on the couch. Thank you for taking time to do that. And Representative Lee, I think involving the University of Minnesota is a good idea, and I think but I do think it's also very important that the Department of Health work with them. The Department of Health has a lot of information about this, decades of information that could be very beneficial to the University of Minnesota in moving forward on this. But Commissioner, on Tuesday, you talked about developing the protocol for what the study would look like. That's a big word for a kid to graduate from Cook, so I mean, to me it kind of seems like criteria, but I don't know what that means. But what I'm wondering, I think what everybody here probably wants to know, and they should know before they go home, is some kind of a timeline of where we go from here. And if this protocol we have to develop along with the university is what we're going to study, can you give us some kind of a timeline of how developing what we're going to study, how long that will take, and then maybe how long does you anticipate the study might take before we get some findings back? And along the way, is there any opportunity for any kind of preliminary findings so that the public can kind of be informed as we move along? Can you help us all understand that?
Senator Bob? Senator Bach, I think it should be the university that determines that timeline, and I think it should be the lead agency, and I'm asking tonight that they be the lead agency. And maybe we can get them up at the table also, because I want to hear from what you think you can do, Dr. Bacon, and the doctor. Come on up at the table here. Let's get it. You know what I've asked you about, what you could do, and Dr. Bender, Mr. Matternick, you're going to have to be very involved, as Senator Bach says. You have all the information. You've been putting it together. But you're not going to be the lead as far as I'm concerned. I'm not comfortable with it, and I don't think anybody in this group is comfortable with you having it anymore. I don't think there's very many people at this table. So maybe, Dr. Bender, you can introduce yourself. Tell us who you are, tell us you two doctors, and give us an idea, because you know what I have going to ask this afternoon.
Thank you very much, Representative Cabrera. My name is John Finnegan. I am a professor and dean of the School of Public Health at the University of Minnesota. And as we discussed earlier, the university is very interested and dedicated to the idea of getting to the bottom of what the issues are with respect to the health and patent minors in Minnesota. We feel that as the public research university for the state of Minnesota, that we have the resources available at the university in a variety of different ways. The School of Public Health was one of those. The MRRI that you mentioned earlier that we do at the University of Minnesota Duluth is the second one of those, and at the medical school at the Center for Lung Sciences and Health is the third one, and we have had contact with people at all three of those institutes who have agreed to help support this effort. I'm going to let Dr. Jeffrey Mandel introduce himself. He is an associate professor at the School of Public Health and an expert in the areas that we're discussing here, and will be the key individual that will help to coordinate the research activities with all the parties.
Thanks, Dr. Finnegan. Again, it's Jeff Mandel. I'm an associate professor at the School of Public Health, and I'm also an occupational physician. I've had a lot of experience with dust-related diseases, and I've had a long working relationship with the Department of Health, so I guess I know all the characters involved here from one experience or another. First, let me just say that I think this issue is a very complicated issue, and I know there are a lot of frustrations. We've heard a lot of those tonight. And part of that is, I think, just the nature of this type of public health work, and it's also the nature of this type of illness, or this category of illnesses, which tend to be not straightforward. So I think a lot of the frustrations tonight are a consequence of just the very complicated nature of this issue. I think it was a question about the type of studies that would likely shed a great deal of light on the issue, and I think that's very much the same outline that Mr. Matternack just mentioned a while ago. It would be a more comprehensive assessment, which would include looking at detail at the dust itself, and I think that's something that could be started immediately. And that's probably the part of the assessment that takes the least amount of time.
And it's also a part that's incorporated into the other portions of the study, so it's one of the essential aspects of the investigation. The other parts would include the assessment of case control, that's called the study of the mesothelioma cases. Why? What are the factors that are related to having mesothelioma essentially is what that type of study tries to address. And there is a more comprehensive mortality study where all the causes of death are assessed. Not just mesothelioma, but all different types of lung cancers, different types of respiratory diseases, even metabolic diseases. All causes of death essentially are assessed in that type of study, so that the mining industry has a much more comprehensive assessment of its health. And then the third study would be more of a cross-sectional assessment of what types of lung problems exist in the workers, current and former, and there would have to be some way of sorting that out a little more specifically. But those are the essentials of this more comprehensive assessment. I think the best assessment is something that could probably take place within a year, thereabouts. The other parts of the study will take a longer period of time, probably in the range of 3 to 5 years. And that's driven largely by the size of the cohort. There are over 70,000 people that need to be tracked in terms of their vital status, in other words, whether they're living or whether they're passed away. And then work histories have to be gathered. And then the incorporation of the exposure information has to take place. So it's a very complicated study. And again, one that entails a great deal of labor. It's a very laborious process.
Well, let me add to that. I think the key, there are three issues I want to address. I think that communication is going to be absolutely essential. And I think the university understands and recognizes that. We certainly do as investigators, and we'll do everything in our power to make sure that all the stakeholders are in regular contact and understand what is going on. I think the second part of this is expanding this beyond only mesothelioma and looking more broadly at respiratory diseases. We may very well be some things here that are not caught with just looking at mesothelioma, but we need to look more broadly. And the last thing I would say is, I know that there's frustration and there's a lot of people that are saying, why do we need to study more things for it? But there's a central reality here. We know some things. We suspect a lot of things. And there's even more things that we don't know in this area. And with this particular issue arising at this particular time, I think this may provide us with an opportunity to get to the bottom of these questions once and for all.
Thank you. I wanted to say a couple of things. One is I'm very interested in what you just said about this is an opportunity here to really get the bottom of these very serious. And we need to go beyond that as well. And what I would like to say is that I support your proposal to have university and executive leadership on this. I think there's a crisis of confidence that can be addressed by the kind of leadership that I think I hear from you discussing at this table. But I don't want to help the department on the hook. We should have been tracking this kind of cancer and other kinds of population-related cancers for the last 30 years. Now, I'll just tell you, as a legislator, jumped up in 1980, I proposed that to this department of health, Dr. Bender, is getting asked from the very beginning, and he was always opposed having cancer and living that we part of what we have an application of residential history be part of what we gathered in that book. So we don't have all of that. You're right, we have special suspicions about certain things. This year we did require the Department of Health to add whenever there is a cancer, the question of where do people work during their lives when they have cancer, and where do they live during their lives when they have cancer. One of the reasons that's important to many people in this room is not every item may just save on their minds, right? People need to go other places to live and work. And if we don't track the residential history of people who have this kind of cancer or other kinds of cancer, whether it's in the East Metro or anywhere else, we're not going to have the answers that we need. So I would like to say, I don't want to talk about the book, we have that requirement this year now, that we're supposed to add that to the cancer registry, and then we make charge of that. And I guess I want to commit to you that really didn't happen, and we're going to support that now. And I want to say to our researchers at the University of Minnesota that I think if you can work with them on that, we can help set the resources that we've been talking about here earlier. And I think it will give us all some confidence in your work. So I guess I would like to hear Dr. Bender, you can help us get the kind of occupational cancer information and research so we don't come up with more, you know, mesothelioma or other kinds of cancer that don't have any database for our researchers to work from. So I'm very glad to have a meeting, I think.
Representative Butler, I'll ask you a question first. I have to preface it by saying you and I share the same passion for preventing disease. The conflict is over how to accomplish it. Just to get to that line. Of course, the law is in the past. We will do the best we can do to satisfy that requirement to live a high citizen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and also strongly support the proposal. Thank you for showing that leadership. My question, well, first my comments to the department. You proposed doing three additional studies, and I was in Chairman Carr's committee where we were pushing to have a variety of studies done, public health studies around the state of Minnesota, and it seems to be one irresponsible that you didn't ask us for the money for the last two sessions to do this. Two, now that you're proposing to do these studies, what work aren't you going to be doing? Aren't you not going to be looking at the Superfund site in Cass Lake? Are you not going to be looking at the site down in the Mississippi River? I mean, you have finite resources, and it seems strange that all of a sudden now that you're going to have the money to do these studies when you didn't ask us for that over the last two sessions. So, maybe you can comment on that. And then I have a question for the department, for the University of Minnesota. This is going to take 3 to 5 years. We know now that the exposure to particles in this dust is causing mesothelioma, perhaps other illnesses. Isn't there some recommendation that you can give us or give the mind or the miners to possibly prevent exposure? I mean, people are going to be perhaps dying in the process, and it seems as though there's got to be something that we can do about that.
Good question about the funding. We are in the process of putting together the protocol with our intention to go after federal dollars for that. So that's what we, that's where the dollars are going to be coming from in the going forward.
Thank you. You have a congressman that the staff just read a letter. Nobody even talked to our congressman. He said nobody talked to the whole congressional delegation members. I talked to Senator Sturgis and to Speaker Kelleher yesterday. There's the legislative advisory committee. There, Representative Sulpert is the one member of the House along with the Speaker that Kelleher that sits on it. Senator Poland and their phone sit on it. My understanding is that the governor can recommend to the legislature, and the legislature approves. And Representative Clark, you'd be honored because you're control the health committee, we're not going to wait another year, Commissioner. We're going to go to the governor and need better support over there. Because there's been references here, but it's time to move. You've missed two less budget cycles. We're going to try to get the LAC that represents Surge support, and I'm already got Soberville support. And we're going to try to get you some money right now so you can start working with the university today and not have to wait 6 months or a year to get federal funding.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner, I'm talking to a wall here. Have you not heard what's been going on? Were you given the same answer that you gave us 3 days ago? We're going to get the funding from. We have absolutely no idea whether or not you can get federal funding, whether or not the federal funding will come. I can't believe your answer was that I'm going to ask the governor to call a special session so that we can get funding for this quick thing right now. I am shocked that you just said we're trying to get federal funding, which based on what I heard, was $100,000 in the last session. This is absolutely unbelievable. Now you know why we have absolutely no trust in your department to do this kind of stuff, because you aren't listening and you aren't doing what we're asking you to do.
The question I made was what are there things that can be done right now while getting this project off the ground, and there definitely are some things. And that's exactly the reason why we like to have active people in the planning process, people from the union, people from the company, so that we can discuss those sorts of things. While we're looking into some of these issues, there needs to be some sort of assessment of potential for exposure in these various places in the mine. And that obviously going to require the cooperation of a lot of different stakeholders. And respirator use needs to be looked at very carefully to make sure that the right respirators are being used in under the right circumstances, that there are FIP programs and respirator certification programs so that workers can be fit with respirators appropriately and under the right circumstances. Sometimes there are medical conditions that prohibit people from using respirators all the time. So those things have to be looked at very carefully. Maybe they're in place right now. I don't know enough about the minds up here to know that. But that's why we'd like people at the table with us. There are issues that have to do with smoking. And granted, you're living in dust all the time, and people are probably asking, well, why is smoking, stopping smoking so important under the circumstances? Well, we don't know, but it may be that there's some sort of a synergism between cigarette smoke and dust that might be potentiating disease more rapidly. So those are the kinds of things that we need to be talking about right now, because we can't, and we should be.
And it's a real good time to move forward. I want to echo Frank's statement about if I were being mentioned on one of your mind, yeah, I want us to be studying in college for different. If I were being up going tomorrow morning to go to the mines to go to my job, what can I do to keep myself and my family safe? What can the furthest people, the doctor, the people who know about my diseases, what can they tell me as a mine worker to go to do to help keep my family safe? And I think that's what Representative Moore was talking about also. And that's concerning me, because 3 to 5 years, we're going to have a lot of sick people, a lot of people dying. I don't think people can wait 3 to 5 years. We need to get information for the years, but we also need to prevent as much as we can through.
Representative Butter, Senator Lynch.
I'm here tonight as a member of both the Senate Health Committee. And to the people in the audience, I have to tell you that it's a real privilege to serve with your Iron Range delegation, and I assure you that you are well represented at the state legislature. And Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, I'm happy that there's seemingly a resolution to this particular situation that's been brought to the table tonight. I think that's a really positive move. But I also think that it's entirely too premature to let the Commissioner and the Department of Health off the hook. And I grew up here from Rochester because this issue is much larger than even the range. Yesterday in Rochester, I was at two public events in the heart of Rochester, and at both public events, without me saying one word, this situation, mesothelioma on the range, came up at both of my public hearings. People in Rochester were concerned about all of you in the audience and all of the people on the range that are listening and are fortunate and their families that are impacted by this situation. That was the one concern, the number one concern. But secondly, they were concerned about the Department of Health. Because well, we've been talking tonight about the Iron Range. The fact is, when you're talking about the Iron Range or Rochester, it's all in Minnesota. One Department of Health. And Commissioner, I don't need to tell you again that the integrity of your department has been compromised. There are grave issues associated with trust. And very simply, the Department of Health should be a matter of politics, a matter of convenience, or a matter of fiscal feasibility. When I was getting ready to come here tonight, after Tuesday's hearing what I heard, I thought it would be pertinent to put together a timeline of events to develop. Because well, it's important that we find resolution for the range. It's very important that members of the legislature, members of this committee, members of the public, not forget how we got into this situation. And Commissioner, you've got your work cut out for you.
Thank you, Chairman Trevino. And again, I have a pleasure of being here tonight. We're dragging in Fort Smith, Minnesota. We also have a home in Silver Bay. Over the last couple of years, we've built some quick friendships in that beautiful little town of Silver Bay. It's a hidden diamond in northern Minnesota, if you've asked if that's me. See, what Chairman has looked at two organizations that are supposed to be involved in this, that's the University of Minnesota and also the Department of Health. The one group that we haven't heard from tonight is the mining companies. And I'm just wondering if they should be involved in this also.
Representative Desmer, I will let a now legislator from the Twin Cities, who's originally from the range, probably answer that for you.
Okay, I have two things to speak of. One was that, but I'll start with my first one because I get very agitated when I hear the Commissioner or the Department of Health speak, and it's just what I hear is we don't want to act, so we don't want to study, so we don't want to tell. The hotels don't act since 1970. I don't understand that at all, and it agitates me every time. That's what I interpret it as. It may not be the case, but that's what I hear. So that's where my question comes. And then I say another entity with whom I do not have that trust, for whom I do not have that trust. And that's Cleveland Clinic, because I hear that News Tribune, March 29th, they're saying Cleveland Clinic, the paper study of worker health at Babbitt Silver Bay. And actually, there was still communication with them earlier this week. I know that they're looking at doing a study. Supposedly, they started some initial work 2 weeks ago. But anyway, I don't care about their study. They want a study that's their business, the health study of the current and past workers, but that must not be a part of the work we do here because it is a conflict of interest. They can do it for their own benefit, that's their business, but not for when we want public information, straight information, objective information, because they're that saying, you pay the pipe or call the Zoom. So not Cleveland Clinic involves it as a strong participant and a strong doer of the study. They can certainly participate. They need to participate. They need to be a participant, but they may not call the Zoom.
I think most of the people up here probably have right now are, and I know not probably, a bigger suspicion of the company themselves than of the, and to the university and to the Department of Health, we know that the mine company has cooperated with us, but we certainly, I think, at least all of us members of the Range delegation, don't want them leading the choir. So, I want to mention to the crowd that the Pollution Control Agency and the Department of Natural Resources have come here this evening. We're thankful that they have also showed up. And I am sure that Commissioner Moore is here. And Commissioner Moore is here. And I believe Mr. Clemenstein from the DNR. I'm sure that you will help with any information that if this moves forward with the university being the lead, any information that needs to be required from the clients or wherever, that you will be there to help us. Needs to be required from the clients or wherever, that you will be there to help us. We have a commitment from him and from Mr. Clemens back there. And I also would like to recognize that Jones is here from the governor's office, and we appreciate her being here also. Representative Mahoney.
Just for everyone's information, I do serve on the LAC Administrative Advisory Committee. We make recommendations, but those recommendations, first of all, that request has to come from the governor's office, but what else do you mean when you spend that money? So I would hope that, I know there's not a great deal of money in the LAC's appropriation, but I would hope that you would take that person to the government to be able to access the request that we do meet and have the opportunity to forward the LAC for money to the department that is needed. But it must come from the government first.
Everybody here tonight, I offer my thanks, and I think we've made some progress. If there's a disappointment to me personally in tonight's meeting, it's that the mining industry's role in putting our people where we are has not been given much attention. I would really urge, as the study unfolds, that there be communication with the other state agencies that are involved in permitting the taconite plants in the first place. My suspicion is, if we drag these companies kicking and screaming, there's better technology available that they are not utilizing,
that can make some progress in their own operation right now. But it costs money, and it's about profit, and I hope we don't wait in the permitting process with the tax amendment plan 5 years in order to insist on better use of technology to control the emissions of both air and water.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner, I feel a little guilty as I sit here, and I'm trying to remember. Chair Clark called a committee hearing and reported that information in late March, 2 months before our session. And if I'm not mistaken, we had at the end of March, and I just want to know, did you give us different information now than what we had in the end of March? And I gotta be honest with people in the audience. We did have the opportunity then where we could have funded a study at that time. I remember Chair Rubina at the time, he and I had a discussion, and I feel a little bad. We didn't move forward at that opportunity, and I guess Mr. Chairman and Commissioner, I really feel like I personally dropped the ball and I'm pushing it. And Mr. Chair, I just want to know, did I miss something in this process?
Okay, Madam Mayor, I believe Brooke, I had checked. I think I asked the question if there was state money needed, and I was told that there was a federal application and that they didn't need any appropriate. But again, folks, I just want to tell you, I feel really guilty because I come from Hastings, and we have a serious issue down there with the health issue, and we got a lot of state funding in the last legislature to help us out. And it was not a partisan thing. I'm a Republican senator. Stephen's a Democrat. We serve the same constituents, no different than anywhere else. And we worked on this issue that got resolved, and we need to do it on this issue too. But one thing I will say, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the fact that you don't want to have the companies run the study, but they should do like 3M did and step forward and help pay some of this money. 3M stepped forward with $13 million. Commissioner Moore, if I'm not mistaken, is the one that negotiated the deal. He said that the Pollution Control Agency Commissioner negotiated it. These big mining companies should be stepping up. And I understand, I don't know that we do want them. I didn't want 3M running it down in Washington County. I don't think we want to run it here. But I think we should get them up, and I don't know why we wouldn't want to pursue that. Well, Mr. Pagel, are you one of the audience here this evening? Do you want to come forward and tell us whether or not the Iron Mining Association would like to contribute to the study and not expect to end with no strings attached whatsoever? That they will just contribute the money and then keep their nose out of it other than giving the information as requested by the university and the Department of Health.
My name is Craig Rachel, and I'm the president of the Iron Mining Association. There's been a lot of things that have happened tonight, a lot of things that's been done. Because it is an association that represents six mines as well as several hundred businesses that still have services to the mine, I cannot speak for them at this point. That does not mean I won't take it back to the board. I haven't heard dollar amounts, anything like that. We would hope to be involved in the study as we work in the United States. That information is real vital to give to all the people that are involved, all the stakeholders, so that they can make wise decisions. I guarantee you that information will be there. I will work with the group. Please let me know what kind of funding you're talking about, because there is, you know, there are limitations that we need to know and be able to talk about right now.
Thanks. Good Republican friend, remind me that 3M came $13 million. I'm sure that we Representative Stevenson.
opportunity to thank your airplane. He's here tonight, came up and testified, and there was some very compelling stories. And, you know, it's hard to believe that we have kind of glossed this thing over for such a long time, that there is a long trend of this that has gone on in the state. And gentlemen like Bill Scholar, who was able to set up the budget and really begin to address the issue and kind of stood it on his own, not making a partisan issue, but saying, hey, this is about the health of our people, this is about the health of our children. And I think we as legislators bear as much of the guilt for this process as the commissioner does. In 2002, there was funding cut for this particular program to see it through. And so I think it comes back to the legislature to say, if we mandate, we need to fund it. We need to do that. And that's our responsibility. But I think the legislature is taking a new turn here. And I think that the whole issue, particularly with the Freedom to Read Act that we passed this year, is a landmark issue. We are committed as Minnesotans to making sure that the air that we breathe, the quality improves, and that improves the health for all Minnesotans across the board. It's also very encouraging to hear from the congressional leader, Congressman Oberstar, having been in this area for such a long time, that he is now on board with getting this thing through and funding. We look forward to his support for this proposed legislation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I want to address the members of the public briefly, Pat, as where I think we're nearing the end here. I want to thank you all for coming out tonight. What's most important is what happens next, and we heard that a lot from people in the public, and how we keep you best informed moving forward, because the university is going to go way back down to the Twin Cities. The departments and the commissioners and all of them are going back to the Twin Cities. Many of the legislature are going to go home after this meeting, and we're going to still be up here. We're going to need answers and information through every step of this process, and that's going to be vitally important. I haven't figured out exactly how we can keep everybody informed. We will do our best as an Iron Range delegation to keep contact with TV, with public TV, with our newspapers, but also as individuals, and we're going to keep in contact with our brothers and sisters in the unions, in the individual unions, day track, and the retirees, for SOAR, any other organization that is here. But if any individuals want to keep up to date with what's going on, whether it's month by month, whether we get our process, I want you to see Tom Dedrich, if you could raise his hand there. He's going to stick around. He's going to have a sign-up sheet. Give your name, give your address, if you have email, if you have a phone number, however we get a hold of you, we'll keep up to date. I'll make sure we keep whoever is in charge here and keep you informed with them. So, see Tom Dedrich to make sure we keep informed. If we have to have another meeting like this in this building, we have to go up to Blackwater, we have to go to Volpe or anything, but we'll do it in case. Keep you informed to make sure you see this through to the end. So thank you for being here today. Members,
I think we can move forward if the university has agreed to jumpstart this with their own money. And this Dr. Finnegan has assured me that all these stakeholders will be contacted. I'm assuming the Reagan delegation will be invited, along with any interested other legislators, to a meeting to try to set this up. Soon Dr. Finnegan has informed me in the next couple of weeks we're going to get together and try to put the stakeholders together. We'll stick around, and if there are no other questions, comments, meeting is adjourned.